Let's go into the word this morning. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. Morning, I will declare the guidance of this meeting as saints. We are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. What series are we looking at? Believers, what? Identity. All right. Go all the way with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Someone listen to me, I think particularly actually, this is actually for Nigerian church. You're still with me, right? Someone listen to me right now. You did something that has been making you feel very guilty. Right? You did something that's making you feel very guilty. You've had that sense of guilt for a number of days right now. Right? And one of the things Spirit of God says to you is, pay attention to the words you hear in this teaching. And Bible says to you, and the Spirit of God says to you as well, do the right thing. We're here. Do the right thing. Listen to God's word today and do the right thing. Yeah? And you know what the right thing is. I won't say more than that. Do the right thing. Believers, identity. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. It says, therefore, if any man be where? In Christ. He's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold what? All things have become new, and all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, the big question under this series is, who am I? That's the big question we've been trying to tackle. Who am I? Who are you? And you see, the very funny thing about life, a lot of us, we have an understanding of our identity by what the world says to us, not what the world says to us. The world says to us certain things, but we don't pay attention to what the world says. Right? We pay attention to what the word says, not the word says. So I'm talking about word, W-O-R-L-D. I'm talking about word, W-O-R-D. Right? A believer ought to always get their identity from God's word. Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. You see, praise God forevermore is not for trying to fill in my space. Yeah? Praise God forevermore is what? Praise God forevermore. Are we together? Right? Yeah? So, the believer is one who ought to get his understanding of his identity from the pages of the scriptures, not the word or the pages of your phone or the screen. Do you know something? I heard of a statistic recently. And the statistic shows that the amount of information that you have access to in 2026 in one day, that in the past 100 years, people that lived in that time, throughout their lifetime, they didn't have access to that kind of information. Did you know what I just said? That throughout their lifetime, they didn't have access to, I'm saying, so let's say 100 years ago, someone lived for 70 years or 80 years or 90 years. Throughout their lifetime of 90 years, they didn't have as much information as you have in one day in 2026. Let that sink. Did you hear what I just said? They didn't, in their entire life. So what they battled as information combat in their entire life is what we are battling every day. All together. What does that go to show? That the more the world gets busier, the more it is for the world to determine how you see yourself. The more the world advances, you know, we're in that technology world right now, AI world right now. Some of you have even started doing AI. Right? And using AI for every conversation. Yeah? Even when you're downcast in Christ, you don't know scripture to go to again. You just open your AI, put on audio. Hello, can you hear me? Say, yeah, I can hear you. What can you allow me or ask me to do? I'm feeling a little weighty and heavy. I feel like my heart is not really, really, you know, free as it ought to free. What will AI now do? Say, certainly, I can help you with it. So it means we're talking about one person. Certainly, I can help you. Yeah? Certainly, I can, because that's so certain. You say it's word of knowledge. Beautiful. Okay. Okay. Certainly, I can help you. You might be feeling a little heavy because, and you know, they will always give you an answer. And it's very easy for us as believers to begin to find ourselves in positions where we are distracted by the technological advancement of the world. Are we together? Where we are getting distracted by the technological advancement of the world. Right? So it now becomes very tricky to know who is genuine. Are we together? Right? It becomes very difficult. So, you know, some people now, maybe if they're running late to work and they just woke up late, what will you do? Chat GPT. What can I tell my manager who is always angry? What can I tell him is the reason why I came late today? Certainly, I will help you. Right? You can tell your manager, and they will tell you 5 examples, and they will say, pick one. What do? You now read it, you own it. Are we together? Right? Then you don't know that what you are owning is what the world is telling you. That is, you should learn how to lie. Tomorrow, somebody now calls you and says, you are a liar. You get upset. Are we together? You see, the identity of the believer must not be gotten from any other thing outside the word of God. Don't allow the world to tell you who you are. Allow God's word to tell you who you are. I gave examples over the past few weeks. Look through different conversations and stories and examples that could help us understand it more. Hallelujah. Now, we said last week that righteousness is a reward. Am I a little sweating? Was that changed from cooling? It's still cooling, right? So please, we can just reduce the temperature. That's fine. Thank you. You see, righteousness is a gift. We said that. Is that correct? Not a reward. We spoke about the righteousness of man that God... that doesn't sound right or sit well with God. We spoke about how God doesn't tolerate you. God what? Delights in you. Yeah, I think that was the teaching of last week Sunday. God's delight, right? God's delight. God delights in me. Say, God delights in me. Now, we started looking at a few things on Sunday. On Wednesday, we started looking at the concept of let he who stole steal no more. Is that correct? Let him labor with his hand so they can have to what? Give others. So started saying things. Can a Christian steal? Can a Christian steal? Okay. Should a Christian steal? No. Can a Christian steal? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Can a Christian steal? Okay, let me ask a question. Can anybody in this room still time? I was watching a skit a couple of days ago. I can't remember. Was it last night? Right? Where people wanted to go for armed robbery. The brother came to tell them the house they should go and rob. And all of them took their God ready to start going. And the brother now said, oh, before we go, let's commit everything to God's hands. For what God cannot do. So he said, okay, before we go, let's pray. Now ask the brother to pray. The brother that brought the info, he wanted to join the team. He had like 5 of them. He was a 6th person. All of them had guns, right? And now said, let all of us pray. My brother closed his eyes. He started praying. That will give you all the praise, for we know who we are, for we know blah, blah, blah. And as he was just praying those prayer, before you know it, the words of those prayers started piercing the hearts of others. So before you know it, the first person removed his gun, dropped. He said, no, I cannot go and steal again. Second person went to drop. So all the other 4 left apart from the boss. And he himself left. And he himself was alone. When he opened his eye, he only saw the boss. And the boss brought the gun and cracked the gun and said, you see that robbery we are going for? Only you will go for it. All right? Or I will shoot you now. All right? What am I saying? The truth is that your identity, when it is corrected, it will change your actions. No matter how funny that prayer sounds, the truth is that those people saw something more on the words of his prayer that made them realize they were bigger than this. right? The Bible says, let he that stole steal no more, right? Paul was talking to a church and was talking to Christians, right? Paul will not admonish a person who is a thief, but he is not a Christian. He was not talking to them in the book of Ephesians. He's not talking to them in the book of Ephesians. So he said, let him that stole steal no more. Let him labor with his hands. So what's the solution to stealing? Labor. Altogether. So we looked at how your actions do not define you or does not define you. God's victory defines you. So when God says you are righteous, you are righteous. Not because you are doing right things, but because he has done the right thing. Altogether. So when you know who you are, one of the things that will happen to you is that you will not act outside of your identity, and you will not want to prove a point to people. A lot of us live for the optics. Are you aware? A lot of us live for the optics. What does live for the optics mean? It means everything about your life is based on pictures. You are doing everything you are doing because of pictures. Let me tell you something. When I was in school, I remember something very interesting. I was so aware of myself, aware of my identity, aware of who I was, that how I looked was not or did not reveal the kind of person I spoke to. You know, let's go on. So imagine you're in school, for instance, and you see a beautiful girl, and you want to go and, what do you do to beautiful girls? Okay, pray for them. Okay. So you see a beautiful girl, you want to go and pray for them. Then after praying for them, you want to play with them. Yeah, you pray, then play. Are we together? Right? You know, a lot of times, a lot of my friends, I realize that when we walk out of our hotel, let me tell you, when I was in school, God help me. When I was in school, right, there are some of my friends and who they are dating and who they got married to. I was one that toasted their girlfriends for them. If they hear this, they might hear it for the first time. Right? I was one that, you know, that kind of thing where I'm the one with the phone. Right, so any chat you think you were having when you were hosting, it was me. I have my friends come to my room and they give me my phone and give me their phone and I'll be chatting. Sometimes they want to even build confidence. They will type the message, they will show it to me and say, why would you say this kind of thing? I will edit it for them. So I used to be very involved. I used to be their AI then. I used to be the certainly I can help you. Over 10 years ago, right? But I realized that because of how I saw myself, I didn't need to dress to impress. In fact, if you saw me in school, you either saw me with a corporate shoe going to class or you saw me with a bathroom slippers. Oh, you just said it, right? Yeah? You either see me with a shoe, and if you see me with a shoe, I'm going to either church or I'm going to class. But once I drop that shoe and I'm not going for any lecture, I'm always in the bathroom slippers. And it was that bathroom slippers that made me meet different people to the point I won the award of the most social student in school. Why am I giving this example? There was something that sat right inside of me that did not make me act because of what I thought people would perceive me as. But it made me rather to act because of who I saw and how I saw myself. So I never thought I was less because I wore a bathroom slippers. So I can walk out with somebody who wears it. You know, how many of you knew the show called Supra? You knew Supra, right? Yeah, if you don't know Supra, then it means after Gen Z is what? No. Gen A. We start from A again now. Gen A, then go back again to Gen A. Yeah? You know, that time when you wear Supra, if you live in Abuja, there's a place called Silver Bread Gallery. Oh, my goodness. Those days. You wear Supra like this. Supra is the one that the shoe, the mouth of the shoe is just open. It will just be big. It's like caterpillar shoe. You're not talking, tuck your jean inside. Yeah, your skinny jean, tight jean. Exactly, like Timberland. Hey, Timberland is like the brown version of, you know, big like that. And we wear one dark shade. When you were outside the building, you did not wear the shade. Once you step inside the building, you wear the shade. You were under the sun. You wanted to see well when you were under the sun. But because your specs is part of your design, what do you do? Once you just walk into the building, you wear the street. But regardless of that, right? I still had that ability to speak to anybody. There was nobody I spoke to that I felt I was less. I'm saying it this way. Don't live your life on account of how people view you. Let me say it differently. Don't live your life for people. 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 A lot of times, people live their lives for people. Yeah? What will people say? What will people say? Sometimes that comes from a deep-seated insecurity that you've not come to acknowledge. Now, that does not mean, today I don't wear British by the way, obviously, and it does not mean that I don't see myself the way I see myself. Obviously, it does not mean that, you know, you'll now be dressing anyhow because your identity is in who you are. No. But I'm trying to say that don't allow your dressing be because you don't have a rating of yourself. Don't allow your looks. Some of us, we post pictures, we do things, and that's why it's easy to get people tormented. Altogether. You know, you find out that there's some people, right? You know, sometimes some people's testimony make other people get into depression. Altogether. Yeah? Some people's testimony, some people's experience will make people get into depression. You're just on your own. Someone just posted a picture online. Someone reached out to me with a post on something around how a lady was asking if she was devilish because her best friend from when she was small is now doing well, in quotes. She's doing well, she's married, she has entrepreneurship, she has business, everything is going well for her, and she doesn't seem to have anything figured for her. And I think she was asking if she was jealous and is it normal and all those kind of things. If you put your identity in the things you have in your pocket or things you don't have, the fact remains that you remain unstable all your life. You will remain unstable all your life. That I know you by looking at you when you have money in your pocket. There's trouble. It's not a sign of good living. There is serious problem. That once I just look at Brother John like this, I say, there's a major bill he wants to pay. Or yeah, just finished spending one money on a very big bill. Then the day he doesn't have anything or the day he has something, yeah, you can't afford to live your life that way. That's instability. Altogether, you are unstable, right? And the believer ought not to live their life. You know, the only thing that can give you stability is God's word. Because when you have and when you don't have, God's word to you is the same. You get that? God's word to you is the same when you have, when you don't have. So is it good to have material things? Yes. Is that where you derive your understanding of who you are? No. You know, if you look through my bio, most of my social media page for years, there was one day I was preaching in church. And I was preaching Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8, 16, 17, 18, 19, all the way down. And a word or a phrase just popped into me. And the phrase was, God's rich man. I did a series on that, God's rich man. Right? And so on my profile, I have the title called God's rich man. I didn't know people had even noticed it. I started calling me that. Right? But why did I get myself into that knowledge? At the time, right, it is not as if I was rich in terms of millions. All together. But there was something that was clear to me that the riches of God's spirit in me makes me rich. Now we're together. That the riches of God's spirit in me makes me rich. So it means by default, I am not rich because of what I have in my account. I'm rich because of what he has put into my account. Amen? What has he put into my account? His spirit. His gift. You know, some of us, what makes you happy is when you just wake up in the morning and just, some of you, if you just get one money like this, or you just have money, you go back every morning, once you wake up, you just clean your eyes and open your phone just to look at your account balance. It's still there. Thank God, oh. It's still there. And once you look at it, for instance, and you see your account balance is zero, what do you do? You're downcast. There's a difference between trying to aim to be excellent in life and be an achiever in life. And you trying to get yourself into the pit of depression. There's a huge difference. It's not the same. You know you can be driven yet content. Do you know? You can be driven yet you can be content. What is contentment? Contentment really means you are okay with where you are, with what you have, with who you are, regardless of what you see. So contentment means you are okay. It does not mean that you don't have a vision board that tells you how much you want to make in the next 2 months. Right? So you can be contented yet driven. And you can have a good understanding. The Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Is that correct? Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with what he has. For he has said, I will what? Never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not care what man. Now we're together. Don't allow an understanding of who you are begotten from what people tell you. Are we together? Because it's very easy for you to get yourself carried away. And that's why there's something called words of affirmation. If you're a words of affirmation person, you need to intentionally work your mind to ensure that you're not getting carried away by words of affirmation. Because words of affirmation, if I know your issue in life is words of affirmation, right? All I need to do is to give you the word of affirmation, even though I don't mean it from my mind. Nowadays, life is just so interesting because your birthday message, your wedding anniversary message, your Happy New Year message, you don't even know who is praying for you. Is it the person sending it or is AI? Are we together? Yeah? And some of us, we feel like any message that has hyphen is AI. It just makes you just really see. M dash, bruh. It just makes you just really see that you've not been a reader for a long time. Because if you go back into time and you see books of the old, you will see, you can't write that. Nowadays, they've now made us try to relegate iPhone. So they will not say it is AI. And because some other people are wise, what they do is once they first see a message they want to send somebody, they first do Control F, M dash. And they say replace with space. So with comma. Okay, so when I see your message, anytime I see comma, what is it? One time he sends you a message, I see comma, all you do, just realize that it was M dash. Right? So you don't even know who's. So if you're someone who is word of affirmation, it's not a problem now. You can tell ChatGPT, generate word of affirmation I can say to my wife every day from now to next year, January. Maybe? What do you do? You now go open Microsoft document and copy everything inside. So every morning you set alarm on your phone, 8 o'clock. What do? You go and copy day one. You edit it. You just end the message with my love. Have it together. You do the two. So if you're that kind of person, and that's what is making you happy, who is making you happy? AI. So the person even saying it to you might not even mean what they are saying. So if you allow the words of people and the words, the inactions, the actions, the whatever of people get to you, you will find out that you will lose your identity. You will struggle with your identity. You'll be one who will be seen and known as one who is unstable. So you don't need to prove yourself. You don't need to prove your life for the optics, right? Material things if material things is what makes you happy, right? It will be easy for people to know when you have or when you don't have. Are we together? Praise God forevermore. Look at Romans 12. Karl Paul teaches Romans 12. Stuff too. He says, and be not what? Be not conformed to this world, but be what? Be transformed by the what? So what should you renew your mind with daily? The word of God. Can we say with a knowledge of your identity? Yeah? Can we say with the knowledge of identity? So what do you renew your life with every day? The knowledge of your identity. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, and what? The perfect will of God. So the question I have for you again today is, who told you who you are? Who told you who you are? Who told you whose you are? All together. Are you agreeing more with God or agreeing more with your past? Are you agreeing more with God or are you agreeing more with your past? Are you living from truth of God's, from the truth of God's word, or are you living from your experience? Those are big questions. Are you living from your experiences? right? There's something called bringing down imaginations, right? Bringing down strongholds. Where are strongholds found? In your mind. How do you battle strongholds in the mind? God's word. Paul will say, by renewing your mind with God's word. So what should be the activity you ensure you do every day? Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Right? You renew your mind. You renew your mind. You renew your mind. That's most important for the believer. Right? Never get yourself to a point where you are allowing your circumstances to define who you are. Never get to a point where you begin to say, I am this because I am from this. I am that because I am from this. A lot of times, people pick their identity from the cultural practices they saw when they were growing up. What did you see in your home? Are we together? What did you see in your home? In fact, some people don't even just pick their understanding of who they are from what they see in their home. They actually pick it from what they told them about their history. You know, people from this side behave this way. People from this side act this way. You know, and I said, like I said last week, and I've said over time, can those actually be patterns that people observe in family trees? Yes. But there's something bigger than patterns, and it's the pattern of the Holy Ghost. It's the imprinted pattern and seal of the Holy Ghost on your heart. So what do? You start reminding yourself more. That's what I always tell you. If you spend more time on social media, right, social media will tell you who you are. You know, social media can make you doubt a woman or a man that you trust with all your life. We're all together. Yeah? You know, someone was asking me a question. We were having some issues about, Pastor, my wife wants me to, how do you say it? My wife, so people have the first school of thought. People say, if you want your home to be flourishing, let your wife not know your password. Or your wife, if your wife, even though your wife knows your password, your wife, listen to what they say. They say your wife should not look into your phone because they may see what will break the marriage, or they will see what will break the marriage. You know, people have accepted it. I just say, no, I don't look into my phone, so I don't see what will break my heart. So the problem is that there is something that can break your heart today. It exists is the problem. That there's something that can break your heart on his phone. Right? That's why sometimes some people wake up, when they even sleep with their there's pillowcase. They don't put their pillow on the bedside. They put the pillow inside their phone. Not at the bedside. They put their phone inside the pillowcase. Then they will put it at the pillowcase at the other side where you have to lift up the head before you can get access to the phone. And they will still hold it like this. Under the pillowcase. So you want to quickly go and ease yourself in the middle of the night. What do you do? Yeah? Your wife will ask, why are you taking your phone? You say, I want to study the word. My Bible is inside. So they had reached out and they were talking about how, Pastor, should everybody have my phone and everything? And the question is, what exactly is for two things? When you are struggling to, two of them are problem. Do you understand? When you are struggling to see what is in your husband's phone, is a problem. When your husband is struggling to keep what is in his phone from you, is what problem? See, and if you don't understand these things, it cannot help you. You must first accept there's a problem. I'm saying, why? If you want to really know what is in my phone to be able to know if you can trust me or not, then there's a problem. If I want to keep what is in my phone away from you, there's a problem. And a lot of times, this trying to search for people's name and people's listing, right, it is what leads a lot of people into what you call depression, is what scatters relationships, for instance, and is what makes, it is on social media that you see those stories online first. There's one popular one that people used to pass around. Jojo Lo or Bijo Lo or something. One very interesting name, Jojo Lo or Jolo. You say, I've not heard of it before. If I check now, you're following the account. You say, I've not heard of it before. Right? Yeah, where people always bring all their family issue. They will write, my husband, I trust my husband. He called the name of his girlfriend, Plumber One. He called the name of his boyfriend, a mechanic. I just always understand that anytime my husband is cutting to a mechanic, he wants to always go outside. Panebita. Right? And all those things depend on what they see of the other. You understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah, if you see your girlfriend as your panebita, you call your girlfriend panebita, your wife will now be wondering, who is this panebita? who is this person? You are not hiding. And you know, a lot of times, those kind of experiences can make you see yourself less. But I'm saying to you, regardless of what that is or what happens, some people, the only reason why they cannot move on from their past is because of they got their identity from their past relationships. You allowed another man to certify or validate who you are to you. All together. So is it good to tell your babe, your wife, your husband, you are beautiful, you are lovely? Oh, yes, it's good. But that's the way you understand who you are. All together. All together. So I'll just, you know, we need to wrap up here. One thing you must always do for yourself is to always remind yourself of who you are in Christ Jesus, and that the gift you've received by on account of who you are is something you did not earn. I'll close with this example. Imagine you walked into a bus, right? A double-decker bus, for instance, and everywhere is, you know, everyone is seated, and all the seats are taken, right? And you walk into that bus, and you tap your bus pass, and you walked in, and you saw nobody's there, no empty seat, and you look back, and you try to stand in front so that you can just stand. You know, there are spaces for people to stand. What happens when someone stands from their seat and says, "Can you please take that seat?" Depends on how they train you. Do you understand? Because some people, the way they train them, it is that anything that they give them like that for free has an extra motive. There's an ulterior motive. Why would you just give me a seat? We are going for a long trip. You are giving me your seat. What conditioned their mind that way? Is their trauma? Is their experience? Their past? What they've seen? And more often than not, you know, sometimes, let me say this carefully, but sometimes people that act that way, those things you are doubting about others might really be who you are in actions. Because you just might be that brother as well, who the only reason that will make you stand up from a bus for someone to sit down is if it's a lady you want to toast. If it's a lady you want to say you are so beautiful to eventually. Right? So people now find it very difficult to accept things for free. But let's now assume, for instance, you find out the person, let's say you're a young man, for instance, and you're in your 20s, you're in your 30s, for instance, and it was an elderly lady that stood up for you. You know, your condition of how you were trained as well will still either make you accept or not. All together. But let's assume it's a fellow brother like you. And your condition did not train you to see any sense in a brother. But you know you can begin to think that person is, you need to be careful. Why is a boy standing up for me? Boy. No, I don't do all those boy. No, boy, take your seat. I'm okay standing. If I want to complete my steps. But if you actually go into that bus and eventually just take the gift of the seat, and the person you met is genuine, what can we say about that gift? It's a gift you did not earn. It's not a reward for what the person has as an ulterior motive for you. And that's what the, you know, kingdom of God really is about, right? Where the only seat that exists in the bus of our Lord and Savior is a seat that could accommodate you so you can be a family member and be His forever. So you are one who is now sitting on the seat that God gave to you. Flip that and make that make sense. God gave you His seat, which is His life. And the truth is that He gave you His life as a gift, not because you earned it. You can't earn. There's a song we sing, I don't deserve it, I couldn't earn it, but still, right? So you come into the bus, you don't deserve the seat, you couldn't earn the seat, but still, the person stands up and says, sit down as a gift to you. Hallelujah. Let that bless your heart.